front of the board, the planning commission, or anything, and he never acknowledged anything that was in it. So I think there's been input being given to the county planning and zoning commission that's not been taken into consideration. And I also think when they're turning around and doing some of the checking, they're not doing it under the conditions that should be there. And one of the things that I said in that one letter, if you read it, was I said they're going to take 2 acres. And how are you going to, I want to know, show me a site plan. At least they did that when they had the previous project go, which didn't go. And they showed how they were going to fit this all in the property that they had. You got a restaurant, you got a parking lot, you're probably going to have a storage tank, a water tower or whatever, a pumping station, and who knows what else. Show me that on a 2-acre plot before you turn around and approve this thing. So, like I said, I pretty much dovetailed what Mr. Cartwright said. And I only met Mr. Cartwright when I saw the appeal notice go up, and I got it. That's when I tracked him down. But we didn't talk, yet we're both on the same opinion about the way this is going.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions?
Appreciate your time.
All right, is there anybody else that'd like to speak on behalf of the appeal? Okay, at this time we're going to turn it over to anybody that'd like to speak in opposition to the appeal.
State my name for the record is Todd Smith. This is my brother. And I'll just point it out. We own the 16 acres right here. We live right here. And we own the 16 acres that goes around this and all around the overlook. And we actually granted the county an easement because we own this property and the trees were growing up over the overlook. And some gentleman from the county came up and asked us if we would give them an easement so they could cut the trees so people could enjoy the overlook, and we agreed to that. And when they were putting in the road with the curbs here, we asked them to mitigate it and not bring the curb structure through, because I actually came over to the county when we brought this
property, the guardrail
5 years ago, because we came over to the county before we purchased the property, and we actually had thought, hey, this would be a great place. We call it the back porch and have a little burger joint. And we thought it was just a great view. And so we worked out that deal, giving the county the easement. And they stopped the curbing here because we wanted to have a horseshoe driveway for a much smaller place, obviously, because it's not a very big area. Our property sits up, I think we're just under 400 feet above the water. And this is pretty much just a straight cliff down. And we're next door, and we already hear, you know, these guys right here at Vintage Paris across the street, they have bands that play out here at night on the weekends. And we hear, I mean, we kind of put up with it. You know, it's Friday and Saturday night. I don't think they're open on Sundays. But it hasn't been that bad. And we're obviously right next door to them. And when we met Stephen, we loved the idea because we all just think it would be great to have a nice restaurant. We all remember the Candlestick. He said he wants to do fine dining, and boy, we could all use a nicer restaurant. And he said he was going to be pretty mindful about keeping it in this area, closer to the road, not going down the cliff. And obviously you can't build on the way that property slopes off. But we actually think it would be a great addition to the neighborhood, and it might even actually help that neighborhood by helping having something built that blocks some of the sound. I think that comes from this area where they play music out here. There's a patio in front of Vintage Paris here. And that's all I'd like to say. I think we still feel kind of like it's a manageable project. Like I said, I think we're closer to 400 feet above the river. And on the other side of the river, if you can pull out a little bit, these are all VRBOs, nightly rentals. We hear these guys, I mean, all season. These are nightly rentals. So there's a lot of noise. I mean, we can hear the pools, actually, from the point. You know, we hear the kids till 11 o'clock until they close the pool. All that echoes over to us anyway. So I'm not sure you're going to hear more or less. There's a lot of activity already.
Well, there's a lot of activity on the overlook.
Yeah, hold on. But anyway, that's all I'd like to state. I think that you know, we're the guys who are probably most impacted, truthfully, I think, yeah. And we own this piece as well. We own both of these pieces. So that's our property.
Okay.
And, you know, it's all I'm saying. We're already getting, there's bands that play on the deck out here. You've got people out here playing. You know, people come out here on the beach and, you know, they're out there all night playing anyway. And like I said, we hear everything from the clubhouse from the point. So I'm not so sure it's going to, a fine dining restaurant, I'm sure it's going to actually have any impact over anything you're going to hear from the clubhouse at the point. That's all I'd say.
All right, thank you. All right, does anybody else like to speak in opposition to this appeal?
How you guys doing? My name is Stephen Sarkisian. I'm actually the owner of the property. As we were stating earlier, I had a vision for this location when we first came over here. We moved in. I brought my wife and my kids and my whole family over here. And I wanted to be able to, we went around trying to go find some good place to be able to eat. Couldn't be able to find, we have beautiful views, beautiful locations, but we don't have that good of a food over here. So, you know, I thought about it with my mixed culture, my Armenian culture and American culture, we're going to make a nice fine dining steakhouse. And we found this location. We've been going back and forth trying to be able to get this approved. My main thing was across from the river is Point Royal. And stating that, as Stephen just stated, saying if there was a restaurant behind it or in front of it, but Point Royal already has a restaurant behind it. It's the Capone's is already right there. So they already have one there. And when we sit there and about the noise, I sit on my properties. Sometimes I go over there late night. I hear all the noises that's coming from on that side of thing with all the VRBOs and Airbnbs. I put all my investments into here. I already start pulling into loans. I already got a couple of properties that's already getting sold. And I invested so much money into here because that I thought that this is already going to be getting approved. He stated that he's representing all 900 people from Point Royal, and they know everybody doesn't agree. I'm so sorry if I could just say, I forgot the person's name, the lady that was down there. What was her name?
Debbie
Williams, even went right across. She's actually, they spoke to them recently, and she was actually up for it. She said, we do need something nice in that area. And whether if it's going to be the restaurant, or I stated before, if it was going to be the 16 condominiums that it was approved for, it's still going to have the same lighting, the same views, same traffic that's going to be going through there. It's still going to be, and the noise, you can't be able to, you don't know who's going to move into there. It could be the same people that are making the noise at those Airbnbs over there in Point Royal. They could be buying that house, and the same noise is going to be able to come in there. And there's no noise restrictions against those condominiums. So with me, I'm going to keep it as quiet as we can. We're doing this. It's a fine dining restaurant. We're not doing a bar. We're not doing anything that's going to be where you're going to go partying out. If it's like that, I'm opening another location in Fort Rockaway Beach. It's going to be a bar and grill. And so this is just strictly a fine dining restaurant. And if they keep, I mean, I constantly have multiple people from Point Royal come to my house. We've been getting harassed. My wife keeps calling me up. Hey, somebody else came over here. They wanted to be able to speak with you, this and this. Well, it's starting to get to the limit. If they all have something objection against this, I have another location I can be able to purchase. They want to purchase for $980,000, I'll buy another location. This is where I'm pretty much at. And I appreciate you guys for your time and everything, all the effort that you guys, and I hope you guys make whatever the decision you guys think is correct. I hope you guys be able to go with that. And I appreciate whatever decision you guys be able to make.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Okay. All right.
Thank you guys so much again for your time.
Yep. All right. Was there anybody else that would like to speak against this appeal? All right, we're going to give it an opportunity to turn it back over to the applicant for any final statements that you'd like to make. Mr. Cartwright?
I really just had one statement, just to counter something that was just said. I could hand my phone over to you and show you texts from Point Royal residents, including Debbie Williams, which they just said is in favor of the restaurant. I can show you text from her this Saturday that said she is in direct opposition to a restaurant being behind her. Well, so I just wanted to counter that one point because it's just simply not true.
Well, and our biggest challenge is what we're looking for is error in the law. I mean, that's the hardest thing when we look at these appeals because everybody wants to kind of rehash what their opinions are. But the reality is we have a black and white decision to make based on error in the law. So that's where our focus is at.
I hope my appeals packet took that into consideration. I really wanted to present things that I thought were errors in the way that the hearings were actually, or Article 23 was actually applied to the CUP in and of itself. So.
Okay. All right. Any questions for Mr. Cartwright? All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right. This time we're going to close this for board discussion. Any thoughts, board? I'll open it by saying, you know, I know that these moments are challenging, mainly when there's not a lot of drawings or exact plans, but I also know that in these types of processes, there's steps that have to be taken to see if you can even get approved for the location before you even begin those steps. And I do also feel like there's a lot of rules and regulations that have to be followed, you know, grease traps, et cetera, and all those different parking laws, entrance exits, and all those things that do have to be followed once the process has begun. But we do know that there is a process where people have to find out in the beginning, can I even be approved to build this here? And that's usually the purpose that we see people apply for a CUP without having extravagant plans. So with that being said, I want board to be open-minded to think about when we're looking at the error in law here, was it taken, all those things taken into consideration, or do you find that there might be error in law within making a decision with the way that it was presented?
But from my point of view, it's real hard to see what the board heard and how they based their decision. But as you said, engineering drawings and all those things are very expensive. And it's very often that we get projects. I was on the P&Z board for a long time. It was real common to have a concept asking for approval prior to having complete engineering drawings and the entire project done. There's rules that have to be followed for parking, for lighting, egress, ingress. And so a lot of those things do come later. That's just part of the process. And that's information more than anything else. It's just not uncommon to have that situation. And I understand it's frustrating from your point of view, but from P&Z board or this board, that's not uncommon.
Agree. I think if I understood Mr. Cartwright correctly here, the error was that the previous board didn't have all the information and couldn't have made the right decision. But as I read these eight criteria that they had to use in making that decision, these are mostly all use, not design. And I think they had the information that they needed in order to make that ruling. So I don't know that necessarily that was an issue. I do sympathize with the criteria or the limitations that the previous board has put on this may be ambiguous and hard to enforce. I'd like to ask Cody, though, what's the process? Can the county revoke a conditional use if they're not following those?
It's a privilege.
And so would it fall on you to determine if they're meeting this or not? And do you feel like you have enough definition there to say, yes, these limitations are?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So they are actually redundant in how they put this together. They put the stipulations that were already in the design side of the code. So they just kind of added it up. Actually, you know, I don't know, were they reasonable? They might have been unreasonable with the applicant by stating he couldn't do certain things. That's his, you know, he agreed to a lot of stuff to fix and clean up and do differently. Their job is not just to approve, but to be reasonable about what they approve. Kind of like you guys too, right? You got to use some common sense, and they did. I do want to state that a couple things came up. The road entrance